Our Father, I do thank you again for each person that's here. And I'm humbled to be the one standing up here, and I pray that you would be with me and help me to speak in a loving way, in a way that will honor you. Amen. So I had three conversations with different people this week about the subject of health. I should say the last 2 weeks, sorry. And so I decided to preach on the subject. Health has become a highly emotional subject among Christians because there is no middle ground. There are people who love the alternative health movement and there are people who hate it, and it's very rare to find anybody in the middle. And this sharp divide is caused by the nature of the case, in that both sides of the divide are wrong, and our society and culture is not providing an option of truth. And so I address this morning as a message because I think when we get off in some of the options that there are out there, there are very significant spiritual ramifications in our lives. But before I get into all of that, and I'm not actually going to go very deep in everything, I want to give a little history of medicine, I should say, maybe, to give a background of where I'm coming from. So this will be by way of introduction. I want to talk about the standard medical science and for any of you who may have heard me talking earlier this week, you might notice I'm going to say some things a little different than I did because I did a little research and found out that not everything I was presenting was correct. But if you go back in history, you'll find that what was considered as orthodox medicine was not good right from the get-go. One of the prevailing ideas for medicine was that if someone had an ailment, it was believed you needed to afflict them with something worse than what their ailment was. And by afflicting them with something worse, you would overcome whatever they were sick with. And so because of this, you had people would be blistered with hot irons. They would, you'd poison them with mercury and you'd make people vomit. You would drain their blood, all kinds of things. Because you needed to afflict them with something worse than what their sickness was. And it all started in the Salerno School of Medicine that flourished around 1000 AD. Its basic tenets were borrowed from the Greek concept of four elements, which stated that everything in the universe was made up of four basic elements, or humors they called them. Fire, air, water, and earth. And to the scholars of that period, this made a lot of sense. Therefore, they concluded that the body contained four corresponding humors: blood, phlegm, black bile, and yellow bile. And the doctor's job was to balance these four elements. And through American history, there's been many schools of medicine, most of them very bad. And it wasn't until the second half of the 1800s that medicine started becoming scientific. They actually started doing research before they started treating people. And I'm confident that everybody here believes that science and Christianity are not enemies, but they complement each other. So bringing science to the field of medicine was a very good step forward. And with that step, standard medical treatment actually became a blessing rather than a curse. But it wasn't very long, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about the Flexner Report, published in 1910 by Abraham Flexner, which called on schools to improve their training of doctors and stick even more closely to a scientific method. But mixed in with the good of sticking to a scientific method was a poison, in that he propagated using drugs to heal rather than herbs. Flexner was backed by the Carnegie Foundation. You can't patent herbs, but you can patent drugs. And so Flexner's report did good, in that it continued to point doctors towards scientific perspective of medicine, but it was bad in that it pointed them to drugs. But then even the scientific part took a turn for the worse, as science walked away from a creation perspective and adopted an evolution perspective. So here we have standard medical science, which 100 years ago was built on a solid foundation, but it's become very corrupt. And the scientific research has turned from researching herbs to the research of drugs that someone can patent and make money on. And this leaves standard medical remedies in a very poor state. And I do not fault anybody who decides to look for something else. Something we must remind ourselves of is that 300 years ago, when people were being poisoned with mercury and getting their blood drained out, calling it good for them, it wasn't because of scientific research. It was because of ancient Greek philosophies and religion that permeated the medical industry. And as science became popular, these things became less popular. So I talk about the option we have as standard medical science, because what I really want to talk about is a little bit of the holistic health movement that people are so frequently getting involved in. And I want to make it clear and make everybody understand that I understand why people would get into that movement. But when you walk away from standard medical science, you find, in general, there's only one other school of thought that is very popular at all, and it's called the holistic health. And this is where things get dangerous with Christians. And that holistic health heals patients with a method, with methods to connect the body, the mind, and the spirit. Very much of the entire thing of a holistic health is the idea of connecting the mind, the body, and the spirit. And at the very foundation of holistic health, or I should say, the very foundation of holistic health, I believe goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel. When God confounded the tongues of those people and scattered them to every corner of the world, they took with them to every corner of the world the religion that they had there, where they were saying, let us build a tower unto God. And we find in Romans that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And in specific, that does speak of the Tower of Babel. And when you go back to the oldest writings that we can find in any culture on earth, that wouldn't have been very long after the Tower of Babel, you find the teachings from which today is gotten the foundation for the holistic health movement. They believe that the mind, the body, and the spirit are so inseparable that you can't have good health in one without having good health in the other two as well. And as Christians, we read about the fall of man, and we see that Adam lost the perfection of these three things all in one day by a single act. And I do believe that these three things are connected a little bit. But we also read in our Bible, in 3 John 1:1, John writes, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." There is a certain amount of overlap between our mind, our soul, and our body. But by this verse alone, we know that they cannot be the same thing. And the other error that the holistic health movement is based on comes from those same ancient religions where they do not have a personal creator God. Remember, they rejected him at the Tower of Babel. But they have a God force. And they call it by different names, they explain it slightly differently, but at the end of the day, all of these heathen, ancient world religions believe in a God force. And not all of them explain it just so clearly, but I think everybody here is familiar with the yin and yang symbol, where you got a circle with a little white in one side and black in one side. There's a black dot in the white and a white dot in the black. And that represents this God force, where it's this God force is good and it's evil. And in the good there is evil, and in the evil is good. And the two things don't work against each other, they work with each other. So when it comes they teach that good and evil are like the two sides of the same coin. It's black and white, male and female, good and evil. Everything is powered by these forces. I'm talking about this is what these heathen religions believe. These forces are not at odds with each other, though they often look at odds on the surface. Deep down, they're working together. The evil side of the force creates a disease, and the good side of the force brings a healing. The evil side brings a disaster and turmoil, and the good side brings peace. They teach that these two sides are actually what harmonize the world. And so when it comes to the holistic health movement, this movement believes at the very core that the universe, the earth, the universal force, whatever they call it, the chi, the yin, the yang, whatever, it itself, this force, will bring a cure for every disease that it sends. Because of that belief, they teach that every disease, every ailment, every evil on earth can be cured if only you tap into the right energy source. That's the very foundation. And what ends up happening is the holistic health movement comes to some correct conclusions about where to find cures. Because their belief sends them to creation. It sends them there for the wrong reason, but it sends them there nonetheless. And this creates a major problem for Christians. On one hand, we have a medical science option that started growing in popularity about 100 years ago. And when that movement was still young, a man steps on the scene and gives the movement a push in a good direction towards science, but with a twist that they needed to pursue the invention of man for the healing of diseases rather than the creation of God for the healing of those diseases. And on the other hand, we have a holistic health movement that is based on the wicked beliefs of evil religions. And in spite of the horrifying foundation, they have come to some good conclusions and are actually looking towards herbs to heal their problems. What should a Christian choose? A system with a good foundation that has become corrupt, or a system with a bad foundation that has some good structure built on it? And I don't think it's possible to answer that question in a black and white absolute. I believe it depends on every situation. It depends on what doctor you have available in which camp. As Christians, our responsibility is to do right first and then be healthy second. That I do know. And don't ever go to a doctor that you believe is questionable in areas that bear weight on spiritual things, even if you would die otherwise. It's important that we come to that absolute foundation, that it is not acceptable to jeopardize our spiritual life for our physical gain. And many Christians go wrong right here Because every holistic health physician believes they can cure every ailment on earth. They have to. It's the core of their foundation. It's what they teach. It's what they believe. That every ailment can be cured. They just have to tap into the good side of this force. Whether they do it through herbs or through meditation or whatever. They just have to tap into this force. And when you are sick, and especially when you have been sick for a long time and everybody's telling you there is no cure, something like this is so attractive. Somebody can come to you with the idea you can be cured. And it's so easy to overlook the fact that the reason they're telling you that is because of wicked heathenism. And it's very attractive. Talking to someone who believes they can heal you is a great encouragement, and I understand why people are drawn to the holistic health movement, because at its very core, they believe that they can help you. If I was a doctor, people wouldn't like me very well. One of the first things I would ask people would be, have you considered that maybe God wants you sick? And that's not a very hopeful answer to a sick person. It's not what they want to hear, but it is true. The holistic health movement does not believe in a cursed world. They believe in a good and evil force that work together like the two sides of one coin. From the Bible, we know that the earth is cursed. And unto Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. The earth is cursed. And we often forget those words, for thy sake. God said, I cursed the world because I love you. And just because we are Christians does not make us unsusceptible to that curse. No, God cursed this earth for our good, and He intends to leave the effects of that curse here until this world is entirely purged and eradicated from all sin. Until then, the curse will be here. And as Christians, we have to expect that we're going to feel the effects of it. You need to grasp the truth of what Timothy preached to us, the last message of the youth meetings. God said I love you. God said, I love you, when Jesus died. And if that's not enough, you will never believe that God loves you. If you base whether or not God loves you on whether or not He's going to heal you, you're standing on very, very shaky ground. God does love you, even if He has chosen for you to glorify Him through sickness and death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, Psalm 116:15. When I'm preaching hard truths like this, I understand why you are drawn to someone who promises complete healing. If I was sick, I can honestly say there would probably be a little pull in my heart towards someone who might have to, there might be a little pull in my heart towards some of these things that I'm even preaching against today. And some of you might have to remind me of my message. I don't preach this because I like it. I preach it because I believe it. The correct position would be a scientific approach looking to God's creation to find cures. And this option does not exist so far as I have ever observed. The system is set up in a way that if a young man goes to school to be certified, it will be impossible for him to pay for his schooling unless he jumps into this cesspool of drugs and money. And then the natural remedy movement is spearheaded by Eastern religion. We have these two options. Neither of them are good. we have to use much prayer simply to go to a doctor at all. Drugs have huge side effects. The good thing with the natural cures is even if they don't work, you'll very rarely be worse off. But the real problem for Christians is not whether or not you get healed or not. That's really a secondary issue. The real problem for Christians is, are you going to expose yourself to a spiritual realm? Are you exposing yourself to spiritual powers that the Christian has no business exposing yourself to? We are in a spiritual war, and I am becoming more and more convinced that this is one of the devil's most successful attacks on Christians in the past 15 years. The devil saw a window of opportunity with medical science becoming so corrupt. And he brought in a scoop of truth built upon his foundation of lies. And I believe that I myself have seen people struggle with spiritual bondage that was connected with things they were involved in. I've seen people live in bondage because of what their holistic health practitioner told them to do. That was not backed by science, and it was not backed by the Bible. But they were given these instructions, and they lived in bondage according to it. And I think the devil was honestly just simply laughing. But even worse than this sort of thing is when the devil gets Christians so wrapped up in something that it becomes their gospel. We have one gospel. That is salvation through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you find numerous Christians who get more excited about some other thing. Something to do with health. This hope that they've been given for their physical body. They get more excited about that than they are about the hope of their soul. And let me ask you, what gives you more hope in life? Your Bible and your church? Or this, whatever it is. What has your attention has your affection. And we are told to set our affection on things above. What do we put more worry and more time into? Physical health or spiritual health? What has your affection? Things of earth or things of eternity? What's the primary question on your mind when you are sick? What are you focusing on? Simply how to get better at all cost? Or how to be more like Christ? I hate telling people about a problem without providing a clear, cut and dried answer. But it is what I'm forced to do. In our culture, in our society today, the true answer is one that I do not believe exists. But in general, Christians should avoid any health practitioner who practices a holistic method. If someone believes in holistic health, if someone practices it, they are endeavoring to change your spiritual life. A Christian should not go to a health practitioner who endeavors to improve your spiritual life by his practice. A Christian doctor will endeavor to improve your spiritual state, but he will do so by preaching Christ. A holistic health practitioner will endeavor to improve your spiritual state by his practice itself because he believes they're connected. And any practitioner who does that should be avoided like the plague. I don't believe a Christian should go to one. And this idea that spiritual, physical, and mental health are the three sides of the same thing is the foundation from which we have gotten martial arts, yoga, chiropractic, energy healing, nutrition response testing, and a host of other things. Some of these things are able to be separated from their original foundation, and in separating them, they're completely acceptable for the Christian. Some people stretch and call it yoga. Fine. If that's all you mean by yoga, I don't care. I would prefer you didn't call it yoga, but stretching is great. Many chiropractors have dropped the spiritual side of their practice, and chiropractors like that are very useful. Just be careful, because not all chiropractors have. Do choose your chiropractor carefully. It is very hard to find, but you do hear of a martial arts teacher who has dropped the spiritual side of martial arts and just simply teaches self-defense. Fine. That's great. Then there are things like Reiki, energy healing, which is simply Japanese witchcraft. There is no possible way to redeem it. A Christian should have nothing to do with it whatsoever. Because there is nothing. The whole thing of energy healing is simply tapping directly into this God force, whatever they want to call it. And that this force is supposed to heal you directly. It's not about using herbs and a force. Most of these ideas that we have gotten from these holistic health idea is a connection of physical and spiritual things. When it comes to Reiki energy healing, it is entirely spiritual. You can't separate the spiritual from it and have something that's left for the Christian, because it is entirely spiritual. The whole thing needs to be avoided. The easy part is to tell you what's wrong with the two options that we have today when you need to go to a doctor. The hard part is to tell you exactly how to live. But one thing for sure is, we need to be willing to do our own study and do our own research. We need to read the Bible ourselves. And we need to compare people to the Scripture. We even need to compare your diet to Scripture. Compare your physician to the Scripture. And be careful. Genesis 1:29-30 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the field, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And then Genesis 9:3, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things." In these two verses, we have everything. We have herbs, and we have meat, and we have grain, and we have fruit, and we have seeds. Everything that we eat, God gave to us to eat. And here's where it needs to start. The Bible has lots to say about health. It has, in Proverbs, we have three different verses about honey. "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." It is not good to eat much honey. For men to search out their own glory is not glory. Proverbs 25:27. Proverbs 24:13. "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste." In Revelation, we find that God has a tree for healing. And I believe that this is actually a pretty big hint to the way God works. Revelation 22:2, "In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Here we have, in eternity, God is dwelling with His people in person. Anytime you want, you can walk up right before the throne of God and talk to Him. And yet, God decides to grow a tree and use the fruit of it and the leaves of it to keep us healthy and to make us healthy. And I think this tells us a lot about the way God works. Even when God is right there, He chooses to use herbs to heal people rather than a direct miracle, you might call it. How much more should we expect that to be God's general way of healing now? And if you read more, you'll find so many examples through the Bible that will give incredible light on food and health. If you read the Bible and take the information carefully and seriously, it will keep you from extremes on both sides. The Bible also has very much information about cleanliness. Cleanliness and food are probably the two most important things to health that we have control over. But even more important than knowing how to be healthy, which the Bible gives us lots of information on, even more important than that is knowing how to act when we are not healthy. And this one is much more difficult. How are we supposed to view sickness? I already talked about the curse, how God cursed the earth for our sake, and He has no intention of reversing the curse until sin is eradicated. And that is the first and most foundational concept that we must grasp if we're going to have a correct understanding of sickness. And as find John 9:1, as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which is blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This passage also gives us a lot of light on sickness. This poor man was blind for years, simply because God had a purpose for a blind man. And lucky for this man, God's purpose was to heal him. But that might not always be the case. God might have another way by which He intends to be glorified by your sickness. I just read the verse in Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Another thing that is paramount to having a correct understanding of sickness is to understand that God looks at everything from an eternal perspective. We have in Second Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This passage is not speaking of health in particular, but health is certainly a good application. God is a God of healing, and we see it clearly through the Gospels and even church history. But even still, God leaves more people sick than He ever heals, because we talked about the curse earlier. And however many people God heals, He certainly does not intend to heal enough to reverse the curse. In this passage, we see God neglecting the outward man and letting him perish. But God's renewing the inward man day by day. We often forget the inward man and complain about the outward man that God is letting perish. And then we see God allowing affliction on purpose because it will increase our eternal reward. if we look on the unseen things. So God is leaving this affliction on purpose for a moment. Things that cannot be seen have infinitely more value than things that can be seen. Remember Job. If you look closely at the story, you see the devil at work. But Job had the right attitude when Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." And that's the attitude that we need to have. God made Job sick on purpose to prove him. And of all the things that we might think of when we think about Job, the New Testament mentions one thing about Job. In James 5:11, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God is full of pity and tender-hearted. And if you are ill, it is not because God does not care. Job was not ill because God did not care. And you are not ill because God does not care. But because God is looking at greater things. And God is sovereign. We need at the very foundation to remember that God is in control of our health. Well, we all remember the story of Asa, 2 Chronicles 16:12 and 13. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. And we know from the rest of Scripture that the problem here was not doctors. The problem was not that Asa went to a doctor. The problem here was that he sought to doctors, not to the Lord. Doctors are good, but not even the world's best doctor can help you if God does not heal you. I believe in eating healthy, but health food cannot help you if God does not bless you. Health is a blessing from God. And remember that none of us deserve it. We are sinners and we deserve hell. How much more do we deserve sickness on this earth? If we are alive, every person here is blessed by God simply to have blood in our veins. I believe that if people had a correct understanding of God and a correct understanding of sickness, we wouldn't be so frantic. And then not being frantic, we would be able to think clearly and make good decisions, and we would be able to put our spiritual lives first. We would be able to avoid situations that might jeopardize our spiritual life. I ran out of time to put this into my notes, so you have to give me a minute to find it here. A hymn, and I've talked about this hymn before. 226. And we'll sing it in a minute, so you guys can all turn there if you want. Number 226. Catherine Hanke was ill. She was extremely ill, and her doctor told her, "You need to lay in bed and stay there for a year, or you're going to die." And during that time, when she was laying in bed, she wrote a poem. And the poem is really, really long. You can find it on the internet if you want. you just search her name. But then William Doane took this one extraction from her poem, and he wrote music to it, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. And another hymn writer, I forget his name, extracted another part from the same poem, wrote music to it, and that's, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story, and Tell Me the Old, Old Story are just extractions from the same poem that A. Catherine Hankey wrote during this year of sickness. And with that in mind, I want you to think of the third verse, starting the third stanza. Tell me the story always, if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. Tell me the story always, if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. And let this be my closing exhortation to all of us, that this lady understood the love of God. She understood that even in her sickness, God loved her and God said His I love you when Jesus died for her. And in the middle of all of her struggle, in the middle of all of her pain and her sickness, she just wanted someone to come tell her the old story again. And I just mentioned this not too long ago, but if you have gotten to the point where the story of Jesus is not able to comfort you, there is no comfort that a Christian can give you. If you have gotten to the point where the story of Jesus will not comfort you, there is no comfort a Christian can give you. And I honestly fear that this is one of the reasons why people end up turning other places, looking for comfort through other avenues, because they don't understand that God said, I love you through the work of Christ. And they're looking for more than that.